What is up, Noel Nation? It is the guys from Plant the Spear here to bring you a very special episode that we have been hinting at for the last couple weeks, and it is time now. We are very pleased and honored and grateful to be joined by FSU great 2013 national champion, Cleveland Brown,
right.
Business owner, accomplished family man, all of the above.
Put some respect on that name.
Exactly. So we are extremely grateful to have you. And so how are you, my man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just living the dream, like people say, man. Doing my thing on a bunch of different accords and just trying to do the best I can, man. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, awesome. So I actually, like, I saw Niall on Instagram and started seeing his reels and his content on YouTube. And it's like, I mean, it's really amazing stuff. You get player insights from someone who not only played the game, but at a very high level as a national champion and part of some really, really great teams. So, you know, before we jump into this, you guys make sure you go to YouTube and subscribe to Nolan with Niall. And you'll see the information scrolling across the bottom of your screen if you're watching on YouTube on how to find him, as well as on Instagram, some great content that I know you guys are going to enjoy. And I immediately knew I had to reach out and see if we could get him on here. So with that being said, I'm excited to talk some football. There's all the ACC ramblings and stuff like that. And like, I know some podcasts love it, but it's like, this isn't court TV, man. This is football. Let's talk some ball. So with that being said, we will jump right into a spring breakdown. That's kind of going to be the topic of the show. We know Florida State currently is in the thick of things with spring camp. We got the spring game coming up in just about over a week. That is something that we're all looking forward to kind of get our eyes on this team. But I know, Niall, I saw that you posted in your last video, you got a chance to visit practice in person. So you've kind of got to lay your eyes on everyone. So I think this is going to be really valuable for everybody watching from not only a player's perspective, but someone who's got to see things in person. You know, hopefully we'll get there someday, if they let the little guys in the door sometime or whatnot. But so the first topic I want to throw to you here is, Let's back the train up to spring camp as a whole. Like people, I think a lot of people maybe don't have an idea what spring really sets that foundation for going into the season. You know, they see things where, like with this team, you see some reports that things are going smoothly, some where things can get clunky at times. And I think when you come into spring, that's the time for experimenting. That's the time for learning new things and getting on the same page. So from a player's perspective, someone who went through spring, how important is spring for your development and preparation going into that season?
Yeah, man. Spring is essential for the foundation of kind of everything that you're planning to do. So think of spring as kind of the you say spring is the beginning of life, right? You have all these trees that are blooming and everything like that. And it's really the same thing for a college football season. Your spring is where you're able to, where Coach Novell is able to kind of dissect what happened the prior season and then able to kind of come back to the drawing board and figure out what makes sense this season. Who's our personnel? What wrinkles do we want to put in? What do we want to get looks at? And then able to implement them as you're going through the spring. So it is a great time for you to be able to develop your team and see kind of what you got on a player's perspective, on a relationship perspective, on a mindset perspective, which is super cool. But coaches really lean on the spring in order to see what players are serious, what players are really invested in the overall health of the team and not necessarily just themselves, but they're evaluating everything. So the development that I've been able to see firsthand is just being able to get that sense of direction of where the defense as a whole is going scheme-wise. And but just because the defensive coordinators or offensive coordinators are putting in a bunch of different wrinkles in order for them to say, hey, do we have the personnel to run this particular scheme this year? Do we have that playmaker in order to run this particular play this year? And let's do it. Let's see what it looks like in the spring ball. And hey, we will never run that play again because it doesn't look good. We do not have the personnel to run it. Or hey, this is something that we're going to pull out in week 5 against Clemson, or this is something we're going to bring out at the end of the season. So we'll throw a bunch of those things in there, which is super cool to watch, but it's really a awesome opportunity for players to be able to work on a bunch of different things, man.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. And I love that you've heard the mentality coming out of Florida State now with the culture and the way that they built things that, you know, you hate to say it, but like the Bama standard that people talk about. Florida State seems to be that now, where like you have guys that you don't want to be the last in the line. You don't want to be the guy letting everybody down. You want to be the one in the front. You want, you know, iron sharpens iron, as they say. And it sounds like Florida State has gotten to that kind of championship level, you know, work ethic and the way they go about things, which is really exciting to hear. And I was going to follow that up with how much of spring is kind of individual things where you're working on individual stuff and how much of that is from a team perspective? Like how much do you really go start installing before the summer and how much of that as a player is just kind of sharpening your own game?
Yeah. So you have, I would say it's about 50-50 just because obviously this is a team sport at the end of the day. So you're doing a lot of team development and you're seeing how everyone meshes well together. So on the team aspect, you're dealing with the repetition of going over these plays, going over where my guy is supposed to be. If we're doing a game outside with a defensive tackle on a defensive end, my guy who I'm more than likely, hopefully starting with this season, where are you going to be on that game? How does that look running that in real time? And how can we get on the same page as we go through the spring? So that's where you kind of see that team-oriented development going on, as well as being able to go into actual team where you're going against your ones or your twos and seeing kind of where your offensive line is or where your quarterback is or wherever it is and seeing how they're developing and how they're taking things seriously. Because I'm going to tell you what, as a team member, you are a part of a tribe, right? And within those walls of that indoor facility or in those walls of that practice facility, there are going to be fights. There's going to be issues. There's going to be screaming. Yeah. There's going to be all types of things. And every bit of that is how you cultivate a great team. So individually, you're able to say, okay, what am I working on this season? Especially some of these great players. What am I working on this season? I know that a huge part of my development was coming in and talking to my assistant coach, Brian Williams, who's a phenomenal coach now. He's a defensive coordinator at Maryland. And he was my defensive coach's assistant. And there was one spring I was like, hey, listen, I want to work on something specific for myself. And it's my hands. Where are my hands at? And after every single drill, I would go up to him like, yo, where are we at? And he's like, listen, I'm going to tell you what. Hands weren't anywhere inside. We got to get them inside on a consistent basis. What are we doing? And that was able to help me kind of hone in my individual skill. And so by the end of that spring, by the end of that fall camp, my hands, I was a technician when it came to my hands. And it actually helped me kind of create that evolution to becoming an all-ACC player my senior year. But the spring was able to cultivate that from the beginning. So on an individual scale and on top of a team scale, you're able to work on some of the smaller details, which ultimately wins football games.
Absolutely. That's so good. Okay. Now, so you talked a little bit about how you're in those four walls, you're in the dormitory, wherever you may be, and you guys are all just trying to get better as a team. Now you have experience with this. You were on a ridiculous defensive line. You're all studs. You're all NFL draft worthy, but you're all fighting for at the time. Jeremy Pruitt's defense was that four down. I think you guys had four linemen across.
On four guys.
So you're all fighting for playing time. How is the culture of spring with so much good competition, which we're finally getting back to, as you saw, so much good competition? How do you balance that as a teammate of like, I want to play, but also understand like we have to come together as a team?
Yeah, man. That's a really good question. I like that. Because you fall in line. And it doesn't seem that way, especially when you get to the NFL, you fall in line. And it comes from every single day that you're working and your counterparts are able to see you. And they're like, holy smokes, he split that double team pretty good. Holy smokes, that was against Brian Stork. Holy smokes, that was against Trey Jackson. So you're talking about really good players and you're saying, hey, he's winning his one-on-one battles. He's winning his double team. We're going in the film room and you're able to say, hey, this is happening in real time. I need to either figure it out or I need to fall back. So everyone falls in line, especially like someone like me. And I'm a humble guy. You have a guy like Timmy Jernigan in front of you, dog. Yeah. So it's DJ, like, listen, let's be realistic with yourself. But I'm going to be honest with you. Between those white lines, that realistic comes very quickly when you're able to see, hey, I need to get better at being low. I need to get better with my hands. I need to become more explosive because the film does not lie. So when you're able to see that and it's very clear, it's easy to say, all right, Timmy, like, you're doing well. What do I need to be doing better? I obviously see that you're going to be playing in front of me, but if I'm not realistic with myself and I'm not real with myself, I'm never going to get better. Especially you have players that are like, oh, well, I should be playing. I should be doing this. And those are the type of players that don't really last very long at one organization. And they typically transfer because they're not able to be realistic with themselves. And if once the second you realize that and you're able to fall in line with the players that are there and the hierarchy kind of sets itself up, you're able to set yourself up for success. And you're able to say, okay, what can I do in order to get on the field? And that's when your coach is like, hey, listen, I see you've been working on this. He's not great at that. We're going to start playing you on third down. We're going to start playing you on second down. We're going to start playing you on a potential game because you do really well at that game. But if you're just sulking and you're not able to figure that out, it becomes a very long, drooling season and you're aggravated. No one really is trying to put their arm around you because you feel like you are better than you really are. So that's a good question, but that's really what happens if you either don't figure it out or you figure it out and you fall in line.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesse, I'll kick this back to you, but man, that's such a good point of understanding, like, oh, so if we see a guy that's usually coming out on third down or situational, we know that, oh, the coaches likely believe that he can handle this moment or this game that they're running, this two-man game, or, you know, this stunt and twist around, because they think he can handle it better. So that's a great insight for us.
Yes.
I'm a film nerd, as Jesse can tell you. Like, I record the games and watch them afterwards and take notes and do all the weird stuff like that, even though I don't do this for a full living. So that's good to know, man. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah, I think that's great too, because you can be where maybe you're not the full-time starter, but you can have packages where you can get your opportunity, and that's where you can prove yourself and start climbing that pecking order. And like you said too, Michael, where you hinted at, we're now to the competitive depth to where I think you get guys pushing each other. And I really think the importance of the good culture at Florida State, and of course this is going to happen anywhere, but is now sometimes guys get mad that they don't get the starting role and they transfer out. So you hope that you can have that good culture so guys don't just kind of jump out of the boat when they don't get their way. But I think that's something that they're building at Florida State, because you don't really see a lot of the impact guys. You know, they're okay with rotating heavily like they did last year and things like that. But turning our focus to 2024 and this spring session that's going on right now. So I think now that we understand what we're working on in spring, and I think that was a really good segment there to set the stage as for what to expect from spring camp. Because I think some people, you know, you're going to have lumps and bumps along the way in spring. You're going to have highs and lows. And I think sometimes people, you know how fans can be. We're fans ourselves. Now we're you hear one good practice report and we're 16-0, and you hear one practice report and we're 0-16. And it's like, you know, calm down. There's going to be highs and lows. Don't take anything too serious. But from a team perspective, what were some of the things that you were looking for coming into this spring camp for FSU? Like, for me, I was looking to see how DJU meshes with a new receiving core that he has to work with in a new offense. That was one of the main stories. How are things going to shake out at linebacker? You know, what are we looking at, like, at offensive line with some new transfers? What are some of the main things that you were looking at for this particular team coming into the spring camp?
I was looking for just as I was walking around, especially this going to this past practice last week, I more or less was looking for the energy, right? The energy is super important, and it's something that you need in order to create great practices, which create great teams. And that was the first thing I was looking for, was one was energy. Because everything, when you realize that you're at a high caliber school like Florida State, there's not a lot that can really change. You have organizational skills. Everyone's going to be in the right place at the right time. You have the right uniforms. You have all those things. So what is going to differentiate us from a regular team to a championship team? And that's going to be the small thing. So that's going to be the energy. That's going to be the way the coaches are talking to each other. That's going to be how the players are reacting when they're switching over to the next segment. It was funny. My company was doing some workout at Florida State, and I had a lot of my guys there. So some of my employees were able to come out and see practice too, which was super cool for them. And they were like, holy smokes, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what college football is. There's a lot of moving bodies, and we're all trying to be as efficient as you can within that certain amount of time that you have. So we're going from practice, you're going from segment to segment. And what I saw and what I was expecting was, well, what I was hoping for was to see the energy level stay consistent and to see leaders speaking up. Unfortunately, right. I didn't see a ton of leaders speaking up. I didn't hear a lot of rah-rah, which is super important. And some players think it's a little gimmicky, and some players are like, hey, listen, just kind of tone it down. But it's important for a team to have those rah-rah guys and have those Telvin Smiths and have those DeMarcus Walkers and have those players that are going to keep accountability within the team and not just on the coaching side of things. So I didn't hear a ton of that, which I wasn't too happy with, but I did see a ton of energy. And Norvell is a super high energy guy. He was bringing that energy at every single turn. And it was shocking to me. I've never really seen him in that element, at least as consistent as it was. He was turned to 10 from the time that we walked into the time that we left. And it was amazing to watch, where you don't really see something like that from Jimbo.
Yeah,
but we are in a completely different era. We're in a completely different era of college football. And some of these old coaches that have these old ways, like the Nick Sabans and stuff like that, aren't going to really play into these younger players as much unless you're able to say, hey, listen, I am with you. I am not your dictator. I am not your president. I am your teammate. I'm just the coach of this place. And that's the kind of the vibe that we're starting to get in college football. And Norvell's picked that vibe up.
Wow. Yeah, I think you have to definitely be a player's coach nowadays. And like you said, you just got to be a little more careful in how you handle people with as far as building them up. That a lot, you know, some of that old Mickey Andrews type of love, that doesn't go a long way nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I will say that that's great to hear about the energy, because I think, you know, you have to embrace the suck, as they say. And when it's hot, you're doing two-a-days, you're going through spring and things like that, you want to see them keep that energy and be excited about what they're doing and put their passion into it. And leadership was a big thing that I was looking for as well, because you lost a lot of those guys last year.
Right.
And it's funny that you mentioned Telvin Smith, because I was going to say, I mean, you got guys like – you played with guys like Telvin and Jalen and, you know, all these guys that were big talkers. And I think it just does kind of – you, like you said, it gives you that chip on your shoulder, gives you that edge in practice. It makes you, they get under your skin, they make you want to work a little bit harder. Yeah. So hopefully they develop that. I mean, I try to tell people all the time, you have to understand they're literally 2 weeks into being on this team, mm-hmm. a lot of the guys. So, you know, think about as an adult, if you start a new job or something like that, how uncomfortable it feels at first. So guys will grow into their skin. I think you'll see that develop going. Yeah, go into the fall. This is what a lot of summer is for, you know. And if you need some part-time help cleaning, you know, with your business or whatever, you can you sneak me into practice. I'll work for free. That's right.
I got you, man.
That's payment enough. But Mike, I don't know if you have any follow-up on that.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, you know, you one of the things that you said concerned you was that, you know, you hadn't seen that vocal leader just yet, kind of rise up. Is that typical that if a team walks in the spring and they don't have that vocal leader? I know Mike Norvell talked about this early on when he did his first spring interviews, like, we're trying to figure out who the leaders are going to be. Is it concerning that you don't have it yet? Or do you think by fall camp, they can get there? And if they don't have it by fall camp, what's the concern level?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, great question. I think it's not very concerning that they don't have anyone yet, because they're really built by those vocal leaders. Really good vocal leaders are really given that spot. And they take that spot because they earned it, right? Like they're given that spot by their peers, and their peers are there to either take it or tell them, listen, we're not even following that. So, gotcha. And it has to be, the only way that you can really earn that is by showing up every single day to work and by putting the work in. You have a guy like DeMarcus Walker who came to work every single day and dogged. Like, that's just what he did. And he started off as being, honestly, DeMarcus Walker started off not being that great. And he put his head down and made every single person on that team question what they were thinking, because he ended up being an absolute maniac. Yes, and that was because he came to work every single day and he earned that spot. So I'm not concerned whatsoever, because as we go through the spring, and especially as we go through summer, we're going to see a lot of relationships develop. We're going to see a lot of trust there, because you have a lot of consistency.
Yeah.
And once that consistency starts to roll, you're going to have vocal leaders rise up, because all it takes is one opportunity. It takes that one super hard day of training, or it takes that one really hard lift where that guy's like, listen, I'm speaking up. I'm saying something right now. And then everyone's waiting on me to talk again and talk again and talk again. So I don't think it's concerning at this moment, but I think as we go to the end of the fall season, if we don't have a couple of people that are speaking up, it'll definitely, I don't think it's going to be the greatest thing going into going to our first game.
Gotcha. I think the one thing that helps too with that is you have Mike Norvell, who is kind of that vocal leader. You know, he's not a quiet coach by any means. He's always on you and loud and stuff like that. But I think you make a great point about having to earn it. And that's, you know, like you said, you kind of see the hierarchy play out through spring, because you don't want the guy coming in who gets pancake blocked 10 times a practice being the loudest leader. You know, like you said, no one's going to care like what you have to say. So now that Florida State is a good chunk of the way, about 2/3 of the way through spring camp with the spring game coming up, what are some of the things that maybe you were looking for coming into camp that you have seen, and some of the things that maybe you haven't? Like, for instance, for me, I think that we're, from what I've seen so far and reading the reports and stuff like that, I think we might be a little bit more of a run first team than I had originally imagined, with a bigger quarterback, a deep stable of running backs. You got depth on the offensive line, good blocking wide receivers, but drop passes still seem to kind of be an issue. Yeah. Getting DJ to that next level is going to be a work in progress. So I'm kind of shifting my balance on what I think the offense may be looking at. But I think the defense could be better than what I thought it was. And those are some of the things that I've seen as camp progress. So just to get your opinion on some of the things that you said you were looking at coming into spring, what are some of the things you feel like you have seen, and then some that maybe you're hoping to see develop throughout the rest of the camp because you just haven't seen it yet, besides the leadership, which you touched on?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing, so one thing that I did see, like I said, is the energy from Norvell, and the energy and the camaraderie around the guys. It looked like a lot of people were focused on what they needed to do. A lot of the coaches were able to speak up to some of these players, which is super important. Sometimes you don't have a good culture where players are coachable enough. And there was a ton of coaching happening, especially I spent some time talking with Coach Odell, being around the defensive tackles a lot. And with me dropping as much weight as I have, it was super weird being around them, but it was really cool because I was able to kind of see the culture within that defensive seg, and which is huge. And it was great because they were all coachable. They were all trying to help each other and everything like that. So I think that was a really cool element of what we saw. But I think as you go through spring camp, you have these. So the way spring camp is breaking down, at least for when I was there with Jimbo, is a lot of coaches will throw in wrinkles throughout spring camp that don't really involve one of another. Like, you have this situation to where you are throwing in like, hey, listen, coach, for the next 2 days, we're going to start working on first downs. Like, all we're working on is first downs, and or all we're going to work on is our second down package, or we're going to work on 2 minute drill, or whatever the case may be. So I think it's really tough seeing something as a well-functioning machine so early, especially in the spring at all. I think as you get to the end of spring, especially in your scrimmage, they're going to put a lot of things together. And that, I know that, because you'd come into practice and you'd be kind of confused. You'd be like, all right, so we're only doing base over wide, or we're doing some sort of blitz package, but we're doing it over and over and over again. I'm like, this doesn't really make sense, but it's because, hey, listen, this is what they want to work for the next couple of days. And then all of a sudden we're going on third down, and now we're doing all third down. So it's like, it's all chopped up in order for them to say, hey, we're going to figure it out. We're going to slowly work it to see what we got. So it's hard to see a full scope picture as you're looking at spring.
I think it's funny you mentioned that, because you know what, last year when the spring game happened, everybody was confused. We started with a bunch of 2-point conversions.
Like, what is going on?
Are we starting? Are we warming up? What's going on here? So yeah, exactly. I get, definitely. That makes a lot of sense, because this is that time to kind of drill down into things that you can find. Like you said, find out what you got and what you need to work for in the fall. Like you said, we can't do this, so we don't need to waste time. We can do this well. Let's pound this, you know, into where we can do it very well when we need to. So, Michael, any follow up on that?
Yeah. Okay. So I do have a question around that. So you talk about how the coaches, you know, walk through, they have practice plans and all that stuff. So, let's see. So 2013, y'all open with Pitt. So not like a huge opponent to plan for, but you are breaking in a redshirt quarterback. So yes, 2014, you opened with Oklahoma State and Dallas, right? So that's a big opponent to plan for. Is there any part of spring where you're doing just bits and pieces of install like for you on the defense? Are you all getting looks against the offense that you think you're going to see in that big opening game?
Yeah, 1,000%. And we're not only doing that for your season opener, we're doing that for multiple teams down the line. And we're so and what they're doing as well as that, these analysts that Florida State has, is they're actually looking at what was wrong that past season and how we can fix it this upcoming season. Like, what did we do wrong? And then they're going to run some of those plays. And that's what I'm saying. It's really weird because you'll go through and they'll start talking about it. And then this is a great example. They'll say, okay, well, now we're going and we're opening with we're playing Clemson, right? And as we're playing Clemson, this is what happened last year. Hey, this particular run install today, we're going to go over what went wrong. And then they'll talk about it and then we'll run certain plays. So yeah, we're going over certain teams that we're going to be playing or certain things that we're going to be playing, but that particular wrinkle is going to vast against a bunch of different opponents, but they're going to use particular games in order to make those examples. And when we go into the film room, we're going to look at it. The analysts would have broken down what, like they'll go over maybe 10 or 15 plays of the same exact play that we ran, and we'll go over it in practice and we'll see how it went. And it's a particular game of like, okay, it went well at this game, didn't go well at this game, and we'll kind of break that down in order for us to kind of perfect it or decide to scrap it. So because you don't have the personnel to do it this year. So it is a full game planning situation in the spring.
That's so cool. Thank you so much for insight, because I'm thinking about, you know, Clemson, you know, as if you follow, I know you have, because you're a Noel, true Noel, is that, you know, one of our bread and butter offensive set is that counter, that GT pool counter that we love running, which I'm sure defensive linemen hate that. You know, we struggled with it a lot of the year. You know, we couldn't run it like we ran it the year before. And especially Clemson exposed us in a way that we hadn't been exposed in that way. So it's good to know that during the spring, something that's a bread and butter of a Mike Norvell, Alex Atkin offense, they're going to be running that offensive line, that the running backs and quarterbacks and the defensive line going against it, how to defend it and all like that throughout the year. That's really good insight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that, because I think it just really goes to show that this is way more of like a game of chess rather than checkers. Like, you're doing things 6 months in advance just to be prepared for that one situation. And like, it really goes to show the level of detail that these programs, these major programs, put into that stuff. And so, yeah, man, I want to ask your opinion on something as well, being that we've kind of talked a little bit about the line here. You said you got to be back around Odell and some of those guys. We know Florida State had a really good defensive line last year. You were a member of a national champion, really excellent defensive line yourself. It looks like 24, they've really kind of reloaded this defensive line. I mean, this defensive end room is thick. I mean, with talent, with dudes, with guys who are ready to make an impact. I think the defensive tackle position may be a little thinner with experience, but you have some young guys there that are ready to step into the role. From a national champion level, NFL level defensive tackle, from your eyes, what do you see this defensive line? How good can they be? And how vital is that? Because something we saw last year with this defensive line was how dominant, or how much of an impact a dominant defensive line can have. Whereas if you think back to the year that we lost Fabian Lovett in the LSU game in 22, you kind of struggled to stop the run up the middle for a long time. So what have you seen from this defensive unit, this defensive line unit so far this spring, and how big of an impact does that bring to this defense for this season?
Yeah, man, it's so important. And that's why Odell is such a vital part. Is the defensive tackles are such a key part to that defense. And I'll speak a little bit about that, is especially when you have someone like Telvin Smith playing behind you as a defensive tackle, you are really somewhat of the heart of that defense. Because if you have someone slap you on your ass and tell you, listen, you got to get over to that three technique, like you're supposed to move over there, Telvin is telling me to go over there, because if that guard and that tackle come off, that guard is taking away the heart of our defense, which is our middle backer. Right. So it's like, it's so important for that defensive tackle to be able to do his job and understand his job very well. And the athleticism that we have in the defensive tackle room, as well as the size we have, is great. Some of these players to put their arm around some of these younger guys in order for them to understand that, listen, we need you. We need you to come along and be able to get that game time experience early on. So get ready because it's one thing to show it in practice, and it's one thing to be able to fit and do those things in practice. It's another thing to do it in the game. So that young, fresh blood that we have in that room has got to get seasoned very, very quick. Defensive tackle was something to where, like, I was amazed when, especially when Timmy Jernigan was there, because Timmy Jernigan picked it up so quickly. And even if you have like an Eddie Goldman, who's an unbelievable defensive tackle, he still had a small learning curve. That's and right, he still had to figure some of those things out. And he figured them out. He was very dominant, but it's a learning curve. At defensive tackle, it really is. So that's a little bit thing that's something that kind of scares me a little bit. But overall, I think some of the guys that we have, especially someone like Grady Kelly, I think he's someone that's a little bit younger, but I think he can really do well. I saw a lot of consistency from him, and I saw a lot of grit coming from him. And then obviously you have some of our dogs in there that I think are going to really hold it down. But you have the Marvin Jones, and you have the Patrick Paytons that are going to be extremely essential putting their arms around these guys. Because if you were able to rotate them in early, so they can get great game time early, it'll pay dividends going throughout the season. And they're going to have to get hit in the mouth. As a defensive tackle, you're going to get hit in the mouth, right? It'll wake you up. It'll wake you up. I have so many stories about being a young buck and getting hit in the mouth, and my coach or my teammate being like, hey, listen, I saw that. We're going to see that in the film room, but I saw that. But guess what? You're going to learn from it, and you won't get hit in the mouth again, or you're going to stay low on that next play. Yep. It's easy to stay low in practice, but when it's the third down and you've been on the field for 15, 20 plays in a row and they're about to score, it's a lot different ball game. So you got to stay low at all times. So I think experience is going to be vital. And if we can get it early in the season, we may be okay this season for sure at defensive line.
Man, I love that. Like, and I think you said a key thing now is that it's that rotation. It's that getting them the like actual game experience. I imagine that when you were playing, I don't remember very well. I have to go back and look at the tape because I still have all three of your seasons on recording film. I don't think you guys rotated as much as we're rotating defensive players this season. Am I correct?
Yeah, no, 100%. We rotated quite a bit, but we definitely didn't rotate as much.
Yeah, because, I mean, even this season, Jesse, right, we saw players coming in at, like, at downs you'd think you'd want your star players in. And we're like, why is the second stringer, third stringers getting in here? And so I imagine that that's going to pay dividends down the road. That if you had had that, you know, coming out of out of 2013, that 2014 set you up super well. Right. Because you played really key down experiences so that, you know, oh, hey, we're on the 10. They're about going in. I'm going to have to get really low and fight. This is third. And, you know, we got to make something happen. As Mike Norwell says, this is the money down. And so I think that's such a key insight.
It's like, I think, what's it, Mike Tyson that had the famous quote, like, all plans sound great till you get punched in the face or whatever.
That's right.
So, you know, it's like you gotta learn on the fly. And I do think we have some young guys that can make a difference. I'm excited to hear the report about Grady Kelly because I think they're going to need him to be critical for that defensive line this year. I'm of the belief that I think we could use one more, not necessarily like a top line starter, but at least one more experienced player from the portal at defensive tackle. I would personally like to see us get that, not because I don't think the guys that we have can't step into those roles, but I think it's one of those where last year showed you have to plan for every situation. And if you were to lose somebody, we already know Josh Farmer's missing the rest of spring with an injury. I think you just would love to have that depth there, because I also have to say that we're looking at things from Florida State trying to compete for the playoffs and a national championship. And as far as the rotation goes, that is something that Mike Norvell said. He studied a lot of the championship teams, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, and how they did that. And he managed it the same way. And, you know, they said when they revisited it, a lot of the defensive linemen thought it actually paid off. It kept them fresh for those big down situations. Like you talked about, when it's third down, they're about to score and you just have to suck it up. Like you have to make that play. But I think that leads into a good discussion here when that Michael had a question on with when there are championship aspirations on the line, like this team, you know, you're coming from last year where you don't need any motivation because of what happened last year. You know, they've said that the slogan this year has been leave no doubt. I think they really want to go for that championship. But when there are championship aspirations on the line, and you obviously experienced this with winning in 2013, the way you guys went into that season, obviously hoping to repeat in 2014, how does that change the way you go about Spring, and what can Spring do to set you up when you have championship aspirations on the line? I mean, obviously every program goes into the season wanting to win a national championship, but we know realistically that that is on the table for Florida State this year.
Yeah, man, I think you build, right? You build on what you already have, and you build a championship mindset. You have an understanding that that is the standard, and that's where we are going. We're able to compartmentalize what happened last year, understand that there was obviously a bunch of circumstances. We don't make excuses. And that's where Florida State made me turn into a man, is because Coach Odell, especially someone like Jimbo, there's no excuses there. There's wins and there's losses. So no matter what that is, you take that, you digest it, and you move forward. And I think that we take the consideration of that, we move forward and we understand that there's really no other option other than us going to the playoffs in order to compete for a national champion. It's a championship, because we take all the issues that happened last season and we create ourselves as a target, right? We're a target. We have a target on our back. And once you do that, you're able to push and make the team that much closer, because it's us against the world. When we had our championship run, it was us against the world for obviously different reasons, just because we had some issues going on within our team and just a bunch of other things. But we were truly a team, and everything that happened in that facility was because we were against the world as a team. Right. So I think Norvell builds that within his team. It's a little bit different because obviously we have a bunch of guys coming in, but if Norvell can push that narrative and can push that mindset, which seems like Norvell is a unbelievable person to do that, because he is so intentional. He is so intentional. When you talk to him, he is just absolutely so genuine. And I think that's why he's able to do what he's doing at Florida State. But if he's able to convey that to his team, efficiently and often, I think that that's what's going to change it. That's what's going to allow us to be able to come into the season as a high caliber team and be able to really compete at a high level, because it's all a mindset. Everything is mental. The amount of coaches and the amount of inspirational speakers and all the people that they brought in is because that the psyche of a team is the lifeblood of it. If people are not buying in mentally, you are not going anywhere. So I think that Norvell's doing a really a good job at that. And I think he's honing in on that. So I think that's going to be the difference maker on what we accomplish kind of coming into the regular season.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
I was just going to say, I love that, because like you said, there's nothing you can do about last year, but you can use it to fuel you for this year, because there would be nothing more silencing to the doubters about last year than going out and repeating the process this year. So it's all that mentality thing. And I think that you have, you know, I kind of a side note, the way you saw Mike Norvell handle this was second to none. And I mean, I think he realizes that too. Look, it stinks. There's no way around it, but there's nothing you can do about it. And so now you just bottle all that into this year and go out and leave no doubt. And Mike, I'll let you share what you have.
Yeah. I love that, Jesse. And you can't, man, there's nothing. You did everything you were supposed to do, and the way the chips played itself out took it away from you. Now go back into this season and get on that field and make sure that everything you can handle, right? Now, you're in the spring, stuff is happening, you're trying to win playing time, you're trying to win positions, but life is also happening too. So you're getting to know your teammates and all that stuff. So now I'd love to know if you could share the funniest thing you ever experienced, saw, or was a part of during spring practices at Florida State.
So there's a ton, man. There's a ton, but I will say there's a very memorable moment that I had, and it's nothing crazy, but like we were, it was a really long spring, right? So like, obviously you come into spring from fourth quarter drills or kind of whatever those drills are prior to spring, which are really hard and drooling. So you come into that and you go into spring ball and you are exhausted and you're like, all right, like we're getting to our last practice and like, all right, we're pretty much wrapped up. And we got out of practice. I left. I needed to call my coach about something. And I reached out to Odell and it was probably maybe 8:30 that night. We had gotten out around like 4 or something like that after practice. And I reached out to Odell and this was basically the last day of spring ball. I call Coach Odell and I'm like, hey, listen, so I need to talk to you about something. Like, let's meet up. Like we need to kind of talk about what's going on. And I was like, hey, where are you? He's like, I am in North Carolina right now. I'm like, what do you mean you're in North Carolina? He's like, yeah, I'm recruiting. And I was like, you're doing what?
Right.
You're recruiting? And at that moment is where I realized that college coaches are absolutely, they're some of the hardest workers that you can ever imagine. I'm like, listen, we just finished spring camp and we're super busy, especially the coaches are meeting constantly. Not only are they doing, they're meeting way more than us. He is in North Carolina before I could even get home after showering and everything like that. He's in North Carolina recruiting. And I was like, I was completely blown away. I called a couple of my teammates. I was like, listen, is this real? Like, is this real? And they're like, yeah, man, that's just kind of how it is. And I was just like, holy smokes, man. It was just a different caliber. It's nothing that I really ever could have understood the how much recruiting goes in and how much these coaches are traveling and doing so much for these recruits. It's crazy.
Gosh, there are literally no days off when it comes to being, you know, this level of program anyway.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
So
crazy.
As we get ready to kind of wind things down here, I want to ask you one more question. And for those listening, me and Niall talked when we set this up and we're hopefully going to have him as a new friend of the show and get him on a couple more times to give some thoughts throughout the summer and going into fall camp. But being that this will be the last time we talk to you before spring wraps up, I wanted to ask a question looking at summer. As a player, you finish spring camp, you got that long period before fall. A lot of this falls on player-run practices and things like that. What does summer look like from a player's perspective, one? And then, like, how much of that is you just got to have that determination? Because it's easy probably to take that day off to not go to that player-run practice. But how much of what you do in summer sets you up for the fall when – basically, it's on you to find your own motivation. And then, you know, what does that look like from a player's perspective?
Yeah. So technically, it's on you, but it's really on it's on your training staff and it's on your athletic staff and it's like on everyone. So it's really not just on lifting weights. It's on everything. So you have players with injuries. Workouts are mandatory during the summer. So no one's really going home. The longest time you have, I think it's like spring break is the only time you really get a really long time. Other than that, during the summer, you get to go home for a little bit, but you come back and you have classes and you're working out. But summer is so key. Majority of my counterparts and myself included take summer so seriously because you're able to really focus on football. Like you may have one or two classes, but you're kind of a professional athlete at that point.
Right,
you're able to go work out. You have a class or two, go home, and then you're able to come back out to the practice facility, work on small things, work on this, work on that. And then you also have your coaches that are completely dialed in. So if you are not running as fast as you can, they're getting speed charts. They get things sent to them.
So you have,
especially that transitioned while I was there. So you go from not having to worry about anything to then having your coach call you and be like, listen, you ran 20 miles an hour or you
they stitching on you 20
miles an hour. Are you serious? I'm looking at this speed chart. You're the slowest one out there. You're not running that hard. Your workload is low. You're a legitimate car at that point. You're getting progress reports. So you are have incentive because these coaches are watching that. They're monitoring that even though they're away. They're getting their much needed time off during that time. But they're monitoring you nonetheless. So you don't really have time to slack off because you're trying to get to that. But at the same time, I've really never seen anybody or any of my counterparts not take summer extremely serious, especially it's super close to that regular season. So everyone's dropping weight if they need to, or everyone's gaining weight if they need to. Everyone's working on their speed and working on some of those things. But you are technically a professional athlete because the school doesn't really have a lot of to do with it. You're not meeting a ton. So that's more or less what summer looks like. You're able to have a little bit of a social life, but you're also able to really grind and have that time for yourself to kind of hone in. And that's typically what summer looks like as a whole for a college football player.
I think that's really cool to hear because, you know, I'm sure when you get to fall camp, you can tell who took summer serious and who didn't.
Oh, but for sure.
But like you said, it sounds like there's a very, probably more of a level of accountability than the common fan thinks about when, as far as from that. So it's good to hear, though. I mean, you know, to keep you in line. Now, as we get ready to wrap this up, I got two quick hitters for you.
Yeah.
First off, me and Michael were cherished memories, man. And we definitely tip our cap and thank you for what you did while you were at Florida State. We were both fortunate enough to be at the national championship game in the Rose Bowl in 2013. Something that I will never forget, a memory I will never forget in my lifetime.
Nope. But,
you know, from a player who was on the field and you were, you know, for a night, an off season, a year, you were on the mountaintop of college football. Just what did it feel like when that clock hit zero and you knew that you were a national champion?
It's really hard to even express it in words. It's crazy. It's just, especially the amount of things that team went through. We went through a ton of things. There was just so many things that we went through that it was so blissful at that time, especially just being able to, the way it happened, obviously Kelvin Benjamin being able to secure that, as well as Rashad Green having that unbelievable, but when you have,
it's a horse collar.
Exactly. You have, right? But you have those things in line and you're able to count on those people. And obviously Jameis is an unbelievable player and he was able to command that offense. But we run those plays. I've seen that drive happen over and over and over and over again in practice. That drive was not just made out of nowhere. It happens over again, over and over again. So they were prepared and we were able to do that. But I will say this. I have a ton of stories about the national championship, but there was one thing that was super cool, and that was when Kermit broke for kick return. And it was right before we got out of the locker room, Jimbo screamed. So we have our individual meetings and we have a main team meeting. And right before we got together, Jimbo stopped talking to the offense and stopped talking to the main core and was talking to the specialty players. And he said, Kermit, you better hit that thing because I swear to you, you're going to break.
Yeah.
I promise you, he said that. And when he broke, it was unbelievable. It was just a really cool opportunity because it was like he called it. He legitimately called it. They saw it upstairs. They ran the same exact kick return and he broke. So it was a really cool experience. But I'm going to say this, winning a national championship was one of the best moments of my life. And it opened up a huge perspective for me in terms of things are possible. And it's so cliche, but when you work so hard for things in life and things don't happen the way that you expect them to, you slowly get more and more cynical. And I think it's like a unconscious thing. But when you're able to obtain things like that, even small things in people's life, but especially when you're able to win something so large, it kind of stays in that top corner of your life to where you're like, hey, if that was possible, there's so many things. This weird is at the tip of the iceberg. Like that is, if that was possible, and I live my life like that. And because of that, made me really get emotional when our guys weren't able to get the opportunity to be able to win that. And just because it's something that every single one of my teammates has on their shoulder and is able to say, hey, listen, I saw how hard it was in order for us to work, in order for us to do that. And we were able to obtain it, especially being down going into that last quarter of the game. It was just a mountain of serotonin and just blissfulness. My whole family came. I found my family in the stands. We were crying and it was just a whole thing because they had been to the ABCC championship. They were at all the games. Yeah. Like they went through all these things. So it was unbelievable, man.
Man, that's great. That's so good. Okay, I don't know what you got, Jesse. I have two yes or no's. That's all we need. Two yes or no's. Okay. the Clemson speech. If we do it big, we do it big then. Was that really as motivating as they played it out to be?
Nah, it was motivating. Everyone bought into it, man. We all bought into it. Especially someone like Jameis is so infectious. Yeah, bro, it was.
Okay, because I see that speech and I'm like, it's a great, ESPN loves to play it, but I'm like, it wasn't as motivating. Okay, sign stealing. We all speculated at the national championship that they were stealing signs. True, not true.
Yes, true.
Okay.
It's true. And I'll just touch on, if you look at the yards per play before and after the towels were used, it's pretty obvious. It's not illegal. It's not illegal what they were doing.
Not illegal. Just,
thank goodness that we figured it out. But yeah, man, that was such a great memory. You know, that team had so much.
A couple times, yeah.
That team had so much swag and it was just so fun. And you know, the things that you talked about that happened within the team, I think that really kind of bolstered the fan base too. I think you really kind of like died on that hill to defend that team a lot of times. And so it made us feel so close to them. And I remember just thinking like, gosh, did I really fly 2,000 miles to watch this happen?
You know,
and then thank goodness you guys pulled it off. It was a magical night. And on the plane ride home, the lady that sat next to me was an Auburn fan. She's like, that daggone chant y'all do, you just never stop. But I have to admit it's kind of cool. So man, the last one I got for you, just a quick one here, is I want to first tip my cap to baseball for absolutely whooping the Gators the other
night. Yes, they did.
To complete the series sweep. Now we got Miami coming up this weekend, another big series back-to-back. So just real quick on the way out the door, talking about rivals, man. I know it's pretty dead even between our fan base, who they like more, who they like, you know, who's the more hated rival, Miami or Florida. I personally lean Miami. I dislike Miami a little bit more. Are you kind of – they're both terrible, or do you have one that kind of gets under your skin a little bit more than the other?
I will say that Florida is there's no substitute.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's absolutely no substitute in Florida. We don't like it's just Miami is not only that, it's just never a good time. And we just get after it for Miami. We really do. Yeah. But when it comes to playing Florida, things get very serious very quickly. Yeah. People lock in. This is not for play, especially when it comes to your coaches as well. This is not for play at all. We come in there, we're ready to go. I actually had my son the week that we played Florida that Sunday, right before the Florida game. I had my son and I talked to Jimbo and I was like, hey, listen, I just had my son. He's like, all right, I'll see you on Monday. I'll see you on Monday. And I told him, I'm like, listen, I'll see you on Monday. We're getting after it. My newborn will be there in pads. We're not take that lightly at all. I respect, and especially now, especially with my son now and my kids, I tell them we respect our opponent. I respect for. I live in Jacksonville, so I deal with a lot of Florida fans, and I respect them because if you don't respect your opponent, you will oversee your opponent, therefore potentially lose to your opponent. So we respect Florida every single year, but when I tell you, when it comes to Florida playing that, we eat Gator majority of the week.
Let's go.
And we do not play.
Let's go.
I love hearing that because, from a fan's perspective, I think it might be Miami. It really depends on how many fans you know. And Miami really doesn't have a whole lot of fans. So, you know, maybe you don't have a whole lot of interaction there. But I love to hear it. But now we greatly, greatly appreciate you coming on to give us your insight and share what you've seen in practice. And from a player's perspective, like I said, guys, hopefully we're going to have Niall back on throughout the summer. We have kind of an episode talking about some championship stuff as well as going into the fall. I'd love to get your opinion on some of the things on how the season's going to go after spring wraps up, after the next portal session, when we have a really good idea of what we're going to be working with in 2024. So that's it from our perspective. But I want to give you a chance to give a shout out to whatever projects you have going on, where people can find you. I know we mentioned the YouTube and Instagram, but what kind of projects are you working on now that you're excited about that you want the people to know about?
Yeah, man. I am super excited about just kind of starting this new role and really being able to give my perspective to the Knoll Nation, just because it's a certain person that can see what's happening here and what has transpired in the past and what this could potentially look like here in the future. And I'm so excited to share kind of my thoughts from seeing such a high caliber team and kind of seeing where we are now. So man, you can find me at Niall_Law at 99 at my Instagram, and then Nolan with Niall on YouTube. But that's kind of going to be kind of the basis for where we are right now. I own an exterior cleaning company, NLS Cleaning, here in Jax. And we do a ton of work here. So it's been a blessing. We're getting a huge following in terms of all of our local clients. They really have welcomed with us with open arms. We've been doing this for about the past 5 years and I've grown substantially. So we're loving it here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm looking forward to continuing to build here in Jacksonville, Florida with a lot of local companies here and just doing my thing, man. But I love Knoll Nation and I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. And of course, we wish you nothing but success with your business and with, you know, the YouTube and the Florida State content going forward. Obviously, guys, we will link to everything to be able to find Nile in the description. So you guys make sure to go over there, like and subscribe to his YouTube, hit him up on Instagram. I promise you will love the content. It's, you know, he's dropping stuff like we're recording right now all the time. Sir. You don't want to miss it. So, Michael, I'll let you share any final thoughts as we get out the door. But man, Nigel, we just greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, now we're greatly appreciate that you would come on our show and just share your wisdom and insight and stories of just how, you know, this university has impacted you and your family. Man, we're greatly appreciative of what you gave to Florida State, man. I hope you never, ever, ever forget that, you know, we're Florida State because of you. We're Florida State because of all the players, but especially you as well, who gave sweat, blood, tears, I mean, you know, body parts, all of that to make this university what it is today. And man, for me as a natural Floridian born in Southwest Florida, Naples, Florida, Mockley, man, I'm grateful for you. Thank you for representing my university well. And we appreciate that, brother.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys having me on, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah, can't definitely.
Wait to do it again.
Even from a fan's perspective, you're still a little bit in awe. I mean, it's just, it's such a cool opportunity. But yeah, definitely we appreciate it. And guys, like I said, go check out Nile's content. We appreciate you watching. Like and subscribe if you enjoy this video. And we will catch you guys on the next one. Thanks for watching and go Noles.
Go Noles.